This call is being recorded.
Hey, there we go.
I thought we had like a chick all of a sudden. I was like, all right.
Nope, just the British lady that talks every time we start recording. And apparently it also wants to notify me that Taglar has a birthday tomorrow. Cool. Good to know. I shall not forget. So let's see, we've got Bio has a ton of stuff on his plate, so he's not here. Crow also is busy and is not here. So we've got Pinocchio and Tobias Creed and myself, Thaxos, and maybe Muriel. He might come back if he says anything at all. And so we got to figure out what we're doing for April Fool's then.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so many things we could do.
Yeah, a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
Can't do too much at once, though. Too many things just off, just trying to cram it all in. That doesn't quite work.
We have to do something that's not too obvious to all of our fellow mercs.
We definitely need to trick the listeners.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with you, Thax. So, do you think, what do you think?
What do I think?
What could we do?
Well, I think Brian had a good idea about reading out the fan page as a little monologue there. That'd be good. What else could we do? What can we do?
We could talk about how Thaxos is going to do a Captain Canadian costume and make it official in the Mercs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Got to have one to go along with my Captain America costume, after all.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that. How are you Canadian? You have a Captain America thing. But that's a story for another time.
That it is, yes.
Well, there is
shouldn't be too hard.
There
shouldn't
is a
be too hard.
Canada, so.
Yes. He's Captain Canuck.
Was he Captain Canuck?
He was Captain Canuck, yes.
That's right. It was the Mountie.
Yes, good old Captain Canuck. He was created quite a while ago, actually. The first issue was back in 1975, I believe.
I'm Googling it. Yep.
I haven't read it myself personally. I know.
That's a Dark Horse comic.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure.
That sounds pornographic. Comely comics.
You know, I kind of want to read this now, just for the sake of seeing what it's like. Apparently, he was the costume agent of the Canadian International Security Organization, or CISO.
Oh, that's a made up. That sounds very made up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You guys don't have an organized government, right? You're just like, hey, you know.
What, is this episode going to turn into one of those where y'all rip on Canada?
No, we're going to talk about our love for the Trailer Park Boys.
That is a good show.
That it is,
Coke.
I did, however, read some news on StarWars.news.com. Would you guys like to hear it?
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Yes.
What's the latest truth from the
latest
rumor
truth.
Mail?
Is that in episode 7, Carrie Fisher will be wearing the Slave Leia outfit. And I gotta say, at her age and her body, smoking.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be amazing.
Awesome. Yes.
So excited for that.
Yeah, I can't wait. honestly cannot wait. That's going to be hot.
Yeah.
And probably Han Solo will be mumbling about something. I think at this point, Han Solo probably has, like, Alzheimer's, and he's just like, where's my dog? And he's actually talking about, like, Chewbacca and stuff. And
he starts crying and says he wants to go home.
Yeah.
Really? I had heard rumors that they were going to... Disney was acquiring the rights for the Back to the Future series as well, and so they were going to do a kind of combined movie where they were going to have Marty McFly bringing back Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones into Star Wars, and Chewbacca would be really confused. I think that's going to be a hit smash.
Well, yeah. We should be seeing Darth Vader in the Avengers sequel, right?
Oh, that I'm looking forward to.
Definitely.
Spoiler alert, Darth Vader chops off Loki's head.
I mean, they've already shown the whole...
Well, wouldn't
you know,
he be working with Loki, though? I mean, I think you have your rumors
and
correct their factos.
Well, yes,
Thanos,
they are just rumors at the moment.
Loki and Darth Vader, and they go up against the
Sorry,
Avengers.
It's Thaxos, Loki and Darth Vader?
Exactly.
Oh, shoot, we weren't supposed to leak that yet.
Well,
you guys aren't supposed to know that I'm in the next movie.
Cat's out of the bag.
Okay, well...
And you're stealing my joke, by the way. You know.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Probably if we ever release one of these April Fool's jokes, because we're still trying to decide what we should do.
Yeah, no one, not the general public won't know about the inside jokes that us podcast guys have.
Yeah,
all the jokes make behind the scenes. Muriel will be on in 5 minutes.
Okay.
So I think we'll just make him host this episode, and he can take it from here.
That's actually a brilliant idea. Just start recording and go from there.
But we're already recording. Did we stop?
Oh no, it's rolling. We record typically. I mean, you're new to the podcast, but we typically record between 7 and 10 hours of audio files before we actually compile it all into one podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do you guys have time for all that?
Well, I mean, you know, as many form tags I've got there squished under my name, I mean, my primary commitment is definitely the podcast. When putting in, you know, 6-7 hours a week, we all sit down and, you know, half the time it's either on a weekend, we just have a gigantic long marathon of 6-7 hours of talking and trying to generate ideas because, you know, the only thing that ever comes up that people want to hear from us is, how do you make your armor? Can you talk about making armor? Or so we gotta think outside the box, come up with other ideas here. And if we can't do it on a weekend, we'll just, you know, take an hour every single night that we all have to commit. You know, it's a big commitment, but I hope you're ready for it because I mean you're new to this. But
I know I'm hopefully living up to the expectations.
I certainly hope so. I'm sure Biohazard will be here.
Yeah, just
chime
just
in on that.
Pretty much give up your social life.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have one to give up, so.
Okay.
No, I have armor, and that's it.
And if you miss a single podcast, you're banned from the Mercs.
Yes.
So don't mess up here. Don't mess up at all.
So I heard that we're going to have a monologue right here. It's an exclusive KLW Talk Radio monologue from Pinocchio, so let's hear it.
Yes, it's the updates from Facebook. The Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club has 10,123 likes, and 992 are talking about this. It's a community organization founded in 2007. The Mercs grew quickly into the world's elite Mandalorian Costume Club by focusing on charity and celebrating the Star Wars universe. Heads up, we're performing some emergency maintenance on the website. The site will be offline, will be reboot to a previous version. Sean Thompson and 17 others like this. James Clark commented, I think the incorrect grammar is part of the joke. John Doler replied, Clippy FTW. Beautiful, 6 more comments. 106 friends like the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. Recent posts by others on Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. Is there a clan in Warwickshire? If so, message me. It's International Tabletop Day, though I'm running a little late. The 501st said something, but we don't care about that. Special Operations. Whilst Mandalorians are renowned for their ability to push through enemy lines, they are less known for their subtlety, or subtly, as it's spelled. That's because Mandalorian Special Ops are the best in the galaxy for the quieter ways of combat and threat assessment. Assassins, recon, or sniper, do you have what it takes to continue the tradition? If you want to go above and beyond, join the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club today and see what requirements you need to join the toy-wielding special operations. www.mandalorianmercs.com.
One probably note about that one was the 501st Legion. I don't know if that'd be in good taste.
What are they going to do, shoot at you?
But yeah, still, like, I think it'd be good for, like, PR if we don't, like, say, oh, we don't care about the Legion.
Okay, fine, edit that out.
Just that little part, but
edit.
Yeah.
Edit.
I'm just looking out for the greater good here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, considering that, oh, great, you haven't heard that we're being absorbed, have you?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to message him that. Sorry, that's my bad, Scott.
Wait, what's going on?
I forgot to send that to Steven too. Apparently, the recent memo coming down from Bio. I mean, we're not, you know, this will be edited out because obviously we're not telling anyone else about this because it would create a mass hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
But we're actually being reabsorbed back into the 501st. So back when the Mercs got started up, the 501st originally had, you know, custom bounty hunters that they allowed in, and then decided nope, we're going to have canon only. So that's why Tom founded the whole Mercs group for something for custom Mandalorians and. Turns out the 501st are going, hey, we want them back. So,
oh, really?
Tom's selling the Mercs back. So for every member, he gets $25 as a referral fee. So that'll generate. I mean, we've got over 700 members. So at $25 a head, that's going to get him. You know, do the math in my head here. About a cool $17,500.
Yeah, and I just sent
before
out
taxes, though.
714th acceptance letter today, so, you know, do the math. And you know,
I was only ballparking it at 700 even, so he's taken home more than $17,500. That's awesome.
Yeah.
For him.
Does he really get there? Can't tell if trolling or serious.
Oh no, here on the podcast, we're very serious about everything. Which is what, and you should know this above all, Steven. You're our host for this week.
I'm Ian.
Yes, you are Ian. Take it away.
So are you actually recording right now, or what's going on?
Yes, we are.
Recording.
This is welcome to the podcast. You are the host.
Welcome.
Take it away.
Hey, everybody.
The host just got here, and he's...
he's a man of few words, but I think you'll find his hosting style quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. John, you're better at being hosting.
And that's all for the podcast for this week. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Bye.
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 Billy D, Billy D.
Billy D, Billy D, Billy D.
This episode of Kazabi Talk Radio brought to you by Colt 45.
By Anaconda Malt Liquor. It gives you ooh.
Yes, Steven, we're basically just doing this for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we were just throwing around ideas to try and figure out what we're going to do. So
I had to play it up a little bit. I couldn't tell if we were actually on air or not.
Oh, yeah. No, we're live right now. we brought back broadcasting live.
We're always live.
We're always live. Live,
yes.
24/7 streaming.
But
it's www.mercstreaminglive.ru.uk.co.mercs.
Everybody else is just late.
Yeah. Oh, they're always late. But that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on with Steven?
Not much.
Not much?
Easter dinner and then playing some Skyrim.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, how's Skyrim going?
Swimmingly.
Yeah.
Did you save the universe yet?
Not yet. I've just been killing animals, pretty much.
That's the game where you have to scream by the power of Grayskull when you want to activate your sword, right?
I don't know if I've got that far yet. I have no idea.
Oh, okay. It's right after the scene where he goes, "Hey, what's going on?" You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Yep. I'm still stuffed from food. Oh, my ears. I forgot he had the music on there.
I know, right? The new website update is pretty sweet. It's got some cool jams, and while you browse the mercs for them, you got a little paperclip to help you out when you're having trouble. Keeps you on task for getting your armor done.
Mm-hmm.
This is
the best podcast ever.
It is, isn't it?
It's such a good podcast this week.
Yeah, this rules.
Month, week, whenever, how often we put these out?
And Ina?
I don't know. Ian's on, but he's got stuff.
Things.
You know how it is.
I really should be doing work for tomorrow.
You probably should.
So would all
y'all,
the
don't y'all get a an Easter holiday down there in the South?
I'm not that much out there than you.
Oh, that's right. You're practically Canadian, being over there in Maine.
Practically.
I wanna be your main man. Let me be your main man.
I wouldn't mind you guys. The West.
What do you mean, you guys?
I just do not like French Canadians, man. Can't understand them. They can't understand me. Like, no! This is how we talk here.
No! I don't want that!
Eh bien, c'est seulement le français. Vous parlez pas le français?
I punch you in the face.
Hey, have you heard that?
Hey, you don't have permission to speak French here.
France has already surrendered to North Korea.
The only people that have surrendered to North Korea.
Yes, they've already
They're not even within missile range.
So, you know, the listeners of Keldabi Talk Radio, they want to know how to make armor, right? So we should talk about that, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So,
yeah,
let me
sure,
give you
not?
Some tips. I'm going to give you some tips on how Tobias Creed, I refer to myself in the third person like that, how he makes his armor.
He refers to himself in the third person?
Yes, I do. Or Tobias does. He caught me on that. But anyway, first off, you start with a piece of cardboard. You cut out the shape. Then you find a leprechaun, and you have the leprechaun do a little dance around it, and it turns into plastic. I don't want to discuss that. But you get that, and then you go find a unicorn. And the unicorn sings, and spray paint comes out of its mouth, and it gets a design that you want. And then eventually you must take a quest where you have a ring, and you must walk to a volcano and throw it in. I'm not, like, trying to take any copyrighted stuff, because if you think it's Lord of the Rings, it's not Lord of the Rings. It's how you make armor. You throw the ring into the volcano, and then balance is restored to the Force and peace to the galaxy and all that stuff. And that's really how you make armor my way.
Fascinating. Now, that's definitely got to save you some time in making the armor, too, right? I mean, that
Absolutely.
Sounds way faster than just taking some sinter, heating it with a gun, and cutting it to shape, right?
Yeah. Especially, you got to find somebody who's a good archery person, you know, like Legolas or Hawkeye. If you don't have that, maybe you could just take some darts along with you and see if you can throw it pretty good, you know?
Oh, yeah. That
yeah.
sounds fantastic.
One of the best ways to make armor is if you can find a vein of iron ore nearby. And just go ahead and stoke up a nice hot fire, and you're going to have to get some carbon into that iron to make it into steel. You're going to have to get that really hot, a couple thousand degrees. And basically, the best thing to do to start building your armor is to start a forge, an actual steel forge to make your own metal. So, I mean, you're going to need molds. You're going to need mining equipment. The mining equipment alone, that's a pretty big deal, but that's definitely the way to go about it.
And if you have experience with the game Minecraft, you're already like miles ahead of
people.
Oh, God,
yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the whole other thing is that that entire mining endeavor, you can turn into a side business or profit.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, and if you've ever played Sim City, then you're halfway there.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to
have
to run a mine.
That's definitely plenty of experience.
You're going to have to start a steel plant. I mean, not to mention just the trucking that's going to be involved. I mean, the logistics, there's some work that goes into it. But once you're done, well, think about it. You've built your own empire of industry.
That is empire. Mm.
That's right. And then you can make your helmet. Yeah.
And then the Death Star.
That's the Death Star. That's left over. That's after the costume.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You'll have plenty of scrap left over from the costume to make a Death Star or two.
Once you make that mining business, then you can collect some revenue, and you can go buy some sheep and some lamb, and you can go get their wool off that, and you can spin it into your soft parts, as we call it on the Mercs.
Yep. Yeah, you can go ahead and start spinning the thread, and if you get the right ingredients, you can start dyeing it to the colors you need. I mean, people are really fond of red and black, so... certain plants and, even insects can be used as a dye. So you're going to be crushing up a lot of beetles. Just go ahead and get used to that.
And ladybugs. You can do ladybugs, but yes.
The smell sometimes can get to you, but, you just got to tough it out.
Yeah.
If it was easy, everybody would be walking around with Mandalorian armor, but it's not, so.
I know, right?
Yeah. And then if you want some leather in there for, like, a holster or some pouches or, like, a...
have to raise cows.
You got
to
go find... You can go find cow, or if you want to get fancy, you can, like, get some gardener steaks. Or if you want to go to the extreme, hunt down some rattlesnakes. But really, we don't want to suggest that, because,
that's
who wants
dangerous.
To go up against a... Exactly.
But, yeah,
but
you're going to have to get a cow, and, you're going to have to do what you need to do, and then we'll tan the hides. That's going to take, a few months to get that right.
Yeah, it's definitely a time-intensive project. Mm-hmm. But that's the approval team official way of doing it, right, Brian?
Oh, of course.
Since you're a member of the approval team.
Yeah, and I would definitely recommend using the sinew from the cow as your thread. And just go ahead and save the bones so you can make needles.
Or you can make those into, like, trophies.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many uses. Again, by the time it's all done, not only do you have a suit of armor, but you usually have a steel plant, one or two farms. Oh my God! Not to mention the railroads.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think we're making this up, we're not making this up. If you are friends with Mandalore himself, Tom Hutchins, as he's known in real world, he talks about owning a farm. So.
He's not joking, folks.
Why does he have a farm? He's not a farmer boy. He's not from the Midwest. He's from Moxville something or other, one of the Carolinas. I don't remember. But he has farms.
That he does.
Yeah, I mean, anyone could be a stormtrooper, just go on eBay, but, becoming a steel magnate, that's what it takes to become a Mandalorian.
That's some real dedication right there.
That's right.
And I believe Steven has our next topic. Over to you, Steven.
Yeah, no.
What do you mean, no? You have a segment specifically on impersonating Chewbacca and the various Wookiee calls.
You going to be translating for us?
You were going to read a couple of prose of, Wookiee in Shirewook, I think, or was it the other language?
And I thought you knew the difference between, like, mating calls and Wookiee.
Oh, my gosh. No, not that good yet.
So our listeners need to know, though, because this could be a life-and-death difference between the growl being, hey, step off my lawn, and I'm going to tear your arms off, or, come in, I've got scones.
Exactly.
People take their Star Wars very seriously.
Yeah. If you ever encounter a Wookiee, it's like you don't want to get the growls and the roars and all those things mixed up, because, I mean, it's even worse than going to Canada and saying A or A. You know, there's different A's in there, you know?
Oh, it's a huge, huge, huge difference. There's, I believe, over 1,000 different dialects of A up in Canada. So you got to be real careful not to offend people. Everyone thinks we're apologetic, but when it comes down to A, we're real serious.
Yeah, it's like making fun of beer or hockey. You just don't do it. Not unless you want to get involved with a really mean game of Russian roulette.
Actually, it's Canadian roulette.
The Russians stole it. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Russians play the sissy version where there's only one bullet. In Canadian roulette, it's awful.
That's right.
It's awful.
Come out with the translation, Thaxo. A. What did I say there?
That is the traditional greeting of the Canadian.
Okay, how about A?
That would be a... Now, you've got a bit of an inflection there, so I'm going to have to say that you meant to do A instead of A.
Yeah, it sounded more interrogative.
Yes,
you got to realize that it's my Midwest dialect.
Oh, absolutely, but see, you're being very insulting when you say it incorrectly, and I won't repeat the words uttered by the A on here, because we do have a wide range of listeners, and we don't want to offend anyone.
Okay, well, let me apologize to all you Canadians in the way I said A. But not you, Thaxos.
That's not a true Canadian apology.
Okay, I'm sorry, A.
There we go.
Okay.
That's sincere.
Wouldn't it be sorry?
Oh, true. He's sorry.
That's a more personal form of apology. If it's to a generalized audience, Scott is correct.
All right.
There are. It's a very precise language that has a lot of specific prefixes and identifiers on the A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't have anything against Canada. I mean, I like Rush. I like Degrassi.
You're skipping over two of the most important things: bacon and maple syrup.
And William Shatner.
And William Shatner.
William Shatner's Canadian, huh?
Yeah,
you did give us a few other things that are on the opposite scale of that, though.
Yeah, we did develop Agent Orange.
But they also gave us Wolverine.
Yes, exactly.
It's true.
So, I mean, Agent Orange, Wolverine, I think it all balances out, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber.
That was retaliation for Miley Cyrus. You had it coming.
Yeah, we can't argue with that one. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
All right, so I think Steven's got his throat warmed up. He just had to go practice a couple.
We've already gone over this. I cannot do
the Wookiee call. No, you're doing it. You're the best out of all of us to be doing a Wookiee call.
Ooh.
See,
no.
You hear Brian?
Yeah, what I just said is, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. That's the direct translation. Okay, go. No, that was terrible.
Come on,
yeah.
Steven.
You just propositioned me.
Didn't we go? We went over this in another podcast where I said I like tried for like 2.5 hours once, and it just failed miserably.
Yes, but you had plenty of time to practice by then.
No, I gave up completely. Never gonna.
I'm quite certain that Bio said that for the next podcast you had to revise and review and train and. You know, intensive week-long training sessions.
I have neglected my training and gonna have to go on the next one.
Steven, you gotta help me because I'm gonna go meet Peter Mayhew next weekend. So like, I need crash courses right now.
Yeah, see, I can't help you.
Quit being so modest.
Dude, I'm serious. I've tried. I can't do it.
You can do it. Just play some He-Man music in the background, relax for a minute or two.
And then the fabulous powers will be revealed to you.
I've got to try to drown out the Star Wars music from the site right now, so
mm-hmm.
What's going on? I said, hey, what's going on?
You're about to do a Wookiee. Overcame person.
Wake in the morning and I step outside, knock.
See, I can't do that high pitch.
And no, I said, hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. I said, hey.
What's going on?
And so I cried sometimes when I'm lying in bed.
Some very strange dance moves if you watch that video.
Yeah.
Dude, those are some of the best dance moves you can possibly do.
Yeah. I like the one where it's the He-Man shake where you put your hand on your back like you're trying to itch. you're trying to reach for an itch that you can't scratch on your back, and then you pet your thigh.
Oh, yes. That one is a classic hit with the ladies right there.
Yes. I did it at the club the other night. Let's just say I got to meet some ladies' friends. They called it pepper spray.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a good time.
Kids are idiots.
Whoa. Who's the one that can't do the Wookiee call?
Yeah.
Who's the one calling who idiots?
Yeah.
At least I'm not going to try.
Put your money where your mouth is, Steven.
Put your money where your Wookiee is. That sounds right, so terrible.
I'm amongst friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. No one's listening. We haven't even started recording yet, right? Right, Thaxos?
No, it's not like this is live streaming at all.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like right now?
Right this moment? It's not like you've got listeners waiting to hear you do it right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no pressure.
And we have no upcoming commercial break, so it's like...
Nope, commercial free since 73.
Yeah,
you're just going to have to do it.
No,
you can't hide behind that macro binocular forever.
This is my face. No.
And your face is going to make some Wookiee calls.
I can't do it.
What do you mean you can't do it? You can do it.
I know, I really can't.
You really can. Come on.
Just close your eyes and reach down to your far depths to Kashyyyk, and let's hear that roar.
I really can't do it, guys.
You can gather it straight from your soul.
I feel like we went over this for, like, an entire segment of an episode already.
Nah, we've never discussed this before. I would remember if we'd discussed this before.
Son, you got hit on the head too much. Stop banging your antlers on some trees there, buddy.
Oh, okay, sorry. There, Wookiee boy.
Is that too personal? I'm sore.
Yes. Now I remember why we never let you talk on the podcast.
That reminds me of something my grandma would always tell me. She'd say, "Antlers in the trees, antlers in the trees by Who Goosed the Moose."
That's a classic Canadian fable.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic one.
I don't know that, but we need to look it up and read it.
Yes, we should definitely find that one.
Wookie call, Wookie call, Wookie call.
I'm not going to do it.
Just go get some mouthwash and then just say, like, here you go, guys.
Gargle.
Yeah.
At the same
it will satisfy us if you gargle something.
I can probably get something with a gargle, but I can't do it.
What you drinking right now? Just take a big gulp of your Dr. Pepper, Steven, and just be like, arr.
How'd you find out about that? Jeez. Never know about my Dr. Pepper addiction.
Because you have a webcam. And we know how to access it. Come on.
I'm just sitting outside his window. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, you weren't supposed to tell him that. Now we know.
No, cat's out of the bag.
Yep. Tried to cover.
Yeah. All right, maybe I'll do it if I had some inspiration, guys. Let's go. Let's hear some spells from you.
You want inspiration?
We're looking for you to advise him for hours.
Yeah, we've been at this for like half an hour now, man.
Yeah.
You were late. We were already practicing.
Yeah.
All right, maybe.
I'll
go practice some more later, and I promise next time.
Next episode, then. All right.
Yep.
All right. Next episode, we want at least a 5-minute conversation in one or two of the Wookiee languages at minimum. No, not three, though. That's just too confusing.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, two dialects is enough.
Yeah.
Sounds fair.
We're not going to get into that whole Christmas special dialect. No. Not again.
Nope.
Not after the last time. That hurt.
Oh, Christmas special.
That never happened.
All I can see now is a Wookiee in an apron.
And B. Arthur.
I've only seen, like, parts of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh,
and I gotta say, like I haven't seen it in full, but, like, Mark Hamill looks like a really pretty girl in that.
I have it downloaded.
Yep. So, that is something you should go watch.
Right now.
It's horrible, but it must be done.
What do you mean it's horrible? It's the best movie of all.
Substance abuse.
I've sat through some pretty bad movies like Batman and Robin and The Room with Tommy Wiseau, so I could probably get through that.
That's
a weird question. Pot, Lisa.
Which is worse, Batman and Robin or Holiday Special? Wow.
Mm.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Holiday Special was the best out of the original quadrilogy.
Well, we can just go with that the Holiday Special is better because it's Star Wars, and if it's not the Dark Knight Rises series, then it's not good, you know. So Batman and Robin and all of the freeze puns that Arnold Schwarzenegger says is terrible.
His puns were the best.
Chill out. The Ice Age cometh.
Who killed the dinosaurs?
The Ice Age.
I did.
Get to the freeze mobile. I don't know. That one was just...
Tonight's forecast. A freeze. Allow me to break the ice.
Actually, one of my favorite things from the holiday special is when the stormtrooper showed up and they couldn't see anything, but they're supposed to be searching the house.
Mm-hmm.
So they just start, like, touching the walls and, like, touching the top of the shelves.
So we, what?
They did. If you ever watch it, keep it out.
I don't recall that for some reason.
Us up here in Wampa called the shelf-feeling stormtroopers. They're, like, tapping the shelves, trying to, like, make their way around the room. But, of course, they couldn't see with their awesome helmets there.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised the original trilogy didn't include that more than just that one stormtrooper smacking his head on the doorway there. Best part, though, of that movie, definitely.
What is...
Yeah, it was. I really just can't wait for all the lens flares in Star Wars Episode 7, I guess.
Absolutely.
That's
going to
be just lens flare-tastic. That's going to be so awesome. It's just going to be blinding.
I heard you don't just get 3D glasses, you get 3D sunglasses.
That's right.
Well, yeah, you got to protect
your eyes. That is the future. That is the future of 3D movies.
Yeah. Yeah, and,
future so bright, you got to wear shades.
Yep. Yeah, well, with Damon Lindelof writing the script, it's going to be like Prometheus in the Star Wars universe.
Indeed.
That I would watch.
It's going to be great.
Yes.
And I also read on StarWars.news.com, the same place where I got the information I told you guys about earlier, that he's replacing the binary sunset with binary lens flares.
Ooh, that's going to be just rocking. I can't wait.
Now, is it just binary lens flares, or is it binary lens flares on a trinary sunset?
Ooh. You know, I have to go back and check my source.
Because that would definitely require 3D sunglasses.
And I've heard the villain might be a smoke monster. Like a mysterious smoke monster that chases them through the galaxy.
Doesn't that take like 4 movies before they discover that, though?
That's true. That's right. In the next movie, the polar bear.
Well, it's J.J. Abrams, so you don't see the supervillain. It's like Cloverfield and Super 8. You don't see what's going on.
Yeah, you don't see the polar bear till the end. And the smoke monster.
Yep.
In fact, you know, they come out of a sarlacc. And that's their base of operations.
Good old sarlacc.
Yeah, because there's like a button in the sarlacc. If they don't hit it all the time, the universe implodes.
That's why it took so long for Boba Fett to get out. He had to wait till someone else fell in there and assign them the task. Press
the
button.
He was pushing the button. He was saving everyone. He's the true hero of the trilogy.
He didn't fall in. Remember, he jumped.
That's no, he went in. He went in.
Jumped in. More like volunteered.
Like 20 dead.
You should have seen it.
Actually, Sean, did you see my birthday cake?
Yes.
My sister made that. It was amazing.
It was
a Sarlacc birthday cake.
It was pretty cool.
Quite interesting.
It was quite cool.
So we can get a picture of it. The audience is just going to have to... They can go.
The audience, if they all want, they can add Steven at facebook.com. /justmuriel.
Just Muriel.
and it'll have his photo of the Sarlacc cake right on the front page of his on the cover photo rather. And you'll be able to find that.
Yep, easy as that. Oh, I feel like we need to get a Tal back to sing.
Oh, we lost Scott. I think Scott had to finished chilling at work, and he's got to actually go do real work at work and not just hang out on all the podcasts now.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's too bad he couldn't. His boss wasn't very understanding of the podcast stringent commitments of a minimum of 6 hours every single week.
Yeah.
But, hey, we're glad to have him on. Thanks for your time, Scott. Bye, guys.
Hi.
Bye.
Oh, he just left my window. See him walking away.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably going to have to hurry over to get back to Iowa in time. He can make it, though. I'm sure he'll make it in time.
Was he still holding that big boom box above his head?
I wonder what that was.
Yeah, I'm just checking.
All right. We should get Bill back on here to read...
We should get Bill back.
That book, part 2.
Oh, we were already looking at that, actually.
We were trying to find a suitable second book.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, we found one by Samuel L. Jackson, but we didn't think it was child appropriate.
Oh, I think I know which one.
Yeah. There'd be a lot of editing and beeping, and it just wouldn't be right.
We haven't settled on what one we want to read this time, though. I mean, there's a bunch of good ones. That Hayes Roberts, the guy who brought us the Brave Monkey Pirate Frost.
Oh, yeah.
He's also written a couple others. One's called The Wiener Dog Magnet. The other one's Invisible Alligators. Can't quite decide which one to read, though. Maybe we should go with a different author.
I don't know. Invisible Alligators sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah? We should do Invisible Alligators then, I think.
Yeah, my other idea was just read Atlas Shrugged in its entirety, but, you know, we'd have to get, like, the rights and stuff. And that'd be no fun.
Yeah. All right, so let's hash out real quick. Invisible Alligators, who are we replacing with what? I'll link you to the story here. Let's go through it. All right, so we got Invisible Alligators by Hayes Roberts. He's dedicated it to the Red Furies. Interesting choice.
I just read that. I was like, the Red Furries, what?
Not Furries, Steven. Furies.
No, we're going with the Red Furries.
Yes. So, first page. A young monkey named Sari woke up one morning and knew there was trouble. So it's going to be a young Mandalorian named... Who are we putting in the story this time? Is it Frost again? Are we continuing the Tales of Frost?
I'd go with McCoy.
Do it. He won't mind.
A young Mandalorian named McCoy woke up one morning and knew there was trouble.
She hopped out of bed. Yep.
Oh, gosh.
She hopped out of bed and found that the bridge on her favorite castle had been broken in the night, and it took her forever to fix it. Okay, so what are we... She hopped out of bed... And found that...
The Empire had destroyed her favorite castle. It had been broken in the night. It took her and her army forever to fix it.
Alright, let's get this hashed out into an actual script here. Alright, so... She hopped out of bed and found that the bridge on her favorite castle... What?
And she found her stairs covered in Wookiees. She tripped on one and had to pick them all up.
I was going to actually get all the text so we could have someone read it out in full.
Should I just go ahead and just fake it right now?
Oh, you can fake it if you want, sure, yeah. If you want to read it all, sure, go ahead. So, from the top.
From the top.
We're now going to have a fantastic reading of a wonderful novel that is written by... The same author that we had on last year, Mr. Hayes Roberts. And Brian is going to do the honors of reading that to us.
Yes.
Take.
This is McCoy and the Invisible Alligators. A young Mandalorian named McCoy woke up one morning. Start over.
You forgot the dedication.
That's right.
Can't forget that.
That's right.
All right. Take two.
McCoy,
and Mark.
McCoy and the Invisible Alligators. Dedicated for the Red Furries. A young Mandalorian named McCoy woke up one morning and knew there was trouble. He hopped out of bed and found that the bridge on his favorite castle had been broken in the night by stormtroopers, and it took him forever to fix it. Then he found his stairs covered in Wookiees. He tripped on one and had to pick them all up. Then he couldn't find her Tauntaun to school, because the whole herd was running loose. It took him 6 tries to get them onto a pointy rock so they would calm down and quit trying to eat his homework. Then he was late. He was so late that he missed almost all of his favorite class, Algebra 2, and his homework was covered in bites and hoof prints. He'd had enough. Tonight, McCoy would put a stop to this. That night, he stayed awake long after bedtime, long enough to hear the rustling of long tails under his bed. He flipped his bed over and found invisible alligators all over his room. "What's going on here?" he demanded. "McCoy, we're the invisible alligators, and we do this for everyone," one alligator explained. "We're just trying to help. Let me show you." So he followed him deep into the alligator catacombs. As they walked, he explained, "You see, we cause trouble in all kinds of ways. In this house, I'm hiding the remote control, and this sheep will search his house for a week. And in this house, we're stealing the chocolate cake mix and putting out fresh broccoli instead. And in here, we're singing this hippo to sleep in the bath so he gets all pruney. I just don't understand why you would do all these things," McCoy said. "Why do we have so many things go wrong? Why can't you just make everything right?" "Yes, good point," the alligator sighed. "But let me show you one more thing." And he took him into the invisible alligator main headquarters. "This is your book, McCoy. All the things listed in this book are the troubles we've caused you, and all the things you've learned how to do in your whole life. It was a big book." He looked at him expectantly. "Nope, I don't get it," he said sadly, and left the alligator's lair so he could go back home and get in bed. "Bye." The stairs leading home were covered in rocks. McCoy took a moment to pick them all up as he walked, so no one would trip and fall. So he came to a bridge that was snapped in two, and a herd of wild blue monkey rats, which we all know are very dangerous, unless someone knows how to herd them into a pointy mountaintop. McCoy didn't even have to think. He knew exactly what to do. Fixed the bridge, herded the monkey rats, piled the rocks out of the way in a safe place, and was safely in bed in no time at all, fast asleep and dreaming about Algebra 2. How did he do it? If you are lucky, maybe the invisible alligators will visit you tonight and cause trouble for you. The end.
What a fantastic book.
That was life-changing. I don't know what to say.
I don't either.
Well, that's all for this week's episode of KLW Talk Radio. Tune in next week for Steven's long and well overdue introduction to Wookiee Speak 101.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I honestly cannot wait for that.
Cool.
Okay, bye.
Cool. And so I cried sometimes when I'm lying in bed to get it all out what's in my head. And
I'm joke.